In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is always an awesome privilege and blessing to be back here at Holy Innocence. It was over 16 years ago that I was called to be the rector here, and Father Brian arranged for the train to come through at the 8 o'clock service, which made me feel right at home. So thank you to Father Brian. Of course, I'm here now in a new role, a new capacity, and so I bring greetings on behalf of all of us in the Diocese of Southwest Florida. We are 77 congregations, 12 Episcopal schools, and too many outreach programs and community partnerships to number. We're about 25,000 Episcopalians spread across 12 counties, 7 deaneries, and 3 convocations. But the great news for us this morning is, despite all of that complexity and diversity, we are one in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Amen? United by one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now this morning, of course, we are celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. This is the day that finally tells us that that long green season known as ordinary time is coming to an end, and we're beginning a brand new liturgical year. Now, the word Advent, of course, means coming or appearance or arrival. And for most of us, that means that throughout the 4 weeks, we're going to be getting ready for Christmas, right? We're getting ready to celebrate once again the first Advent of Jesus, to remember his first arrival, his first coming, his first appearance. But since at least the 4th century, the church has also, and perhaps primarily, been called during the season of Advent to get ready, just like we heard in the Remarkable Children's Sermon, for the second Advent of Jesus, to get ready for his second coming, his second arrival, his second appearance, when he will come in glory and power and majesty to judge the living and the dead. And so this is why our opening hymn this morning, if you noticed, began with, "Lo, he comes with clouds descending." This is not a hymn about a baby being born in a manger. This is a hymn about a king returning to his kingdom to reign in power. And if you listen to the opening prayer, you may have picked up that we prayed for God's grace, that we might be ready when that day comes at his return to rise to immortality. And did you notice that the gospel reading today was not pleasant, right? It was not flowery language about sheep and shepherds and stars and angels. It was actually about stars falling from their place in the sky, the heavens being shaken as the Son of Man comes with power and glory and majesty. And so today, on this first Sunday of Advent, what I really want to talk about is what I'm calling a tale of two Advents. Because that's where we find ourselves, right? We find ourselves between these two Advents. In fact, scholars tell us that we are living in these in-between times. Some have said we are living between the already and the not yet. And what that means is that we believe that God has already done something. Amen? We believe that God has already acted in human history, that God has already come through the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. And because God has already acted, we are already set free from sin and death. We are already partakers of God's nature. We are already given the promise of God's new creation. And yet, there's a fullness. There's a completion, there's a consummation that is yet to come. And that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're hoping for as we live in these in-between times, between the already and the not yet. And I think you would agree that we feel that tension, don't we? We feel that tug between the already and not yet in almost every facet of our lives. Think for a moment about the fact that when Jesus came at his first advent, he came as the Prince of Peace. He came to bring healing and reconciliation. In fact, we believe that through Christ, God has already reconciled the world to himself. And if you look at every measurable metric in the world today, we actually live today in one of the most peaceful times in the history of our human species. It's hard to believe. Because if you turn on your television screens, we know we're not there yet. We still see the horrors and injustices of war. Something has already happened, and yet the fullness of God's vision of peace is yet to come. Or consider the fact that Jesus came to tear down walls of hatred and division that separate us according to nation and language and tribe and people. In Christ, we're told there is no Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. And yet we know that we still experience those divisions. There's still hatred and brokenness and separation in the world already and not yet. Or think about the fact that Jesus came and prayed for his disciples, for us, that we would all be one. He came to start one unified movement, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And yet as you and I sit here this morning, there are 45,000 Christian denominations in the world. 45,000. We're not there yet. And if we want to bring it really close to home, she's ready. If we want to bring it really close to home, think about our own lives. Think about, she just wants dad. Right? That's good. Think about your life. Think about your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. Think about God's calling, God's destiny for you. Are you there yet? If you're like me, you're a work in progress. Amen? We're all a work in progress. We all feel that tension between the already and the not yet. We live between the two advents. And what that means for us is that there's an open opportunity to live a different kind of life, to live a different way of life. And so what does it mean for us this morning? Why does it matter that we live between the two advents, between the already and the not yet? Well, I'm really glad you asked. Because I think it means everything. I think this is actually the key to understanding so much of what it means to be a Christian and how we are called to live in the world. But I can't tell you everything in the next 5 to 7 minutes. So I'm going to give you 3 points to take home with you today. The first is that understanding that we live between the already and the not yet is actually the foundation of our hope. And what I mean by that is that when we see what's happening in the world, when we still see brokenness, when we still see division, when we still see hatred and animosity and war, we can also know that those things are not the end of the story, that they will never have the last word. Because God has already done something, and God has promised that day when there will be no more war or sickness or pain or hurt or division or grief. We're not there yet, but we believe it's coming. And that is the foundation of our hope, that no matter what is going on in your life right now or my life right now, we know what God has promised us. So it's the foundation of our hope. Secondly, it is the motivation of our mission. We're called to do some pretty fantastic things as followers of Jesus, to serve others, to love our neighbor, to meet the needs of our local communities. But we do those not simply because they're good things to do. We do them because they are a foretaste of what God is calling us to in the fullness of time. Here in the Diocese of Southwest Florida, I've called us to follow 4 pathways: forming disciples, developing leaders, embracing differences, and transforming communities. Those are all good things to do, but more importantly, they are ways in which we are building now for the kingdom of God. And we are embodying now what that future will look like. Amen? Here at Holy Innocence, you all have an amazing, almost slipped, didn't I? You all have an amazing feeding program, TLC, Transforming Lives for Christ. You do that to meet the needs in your community, to help those who are hungry and thirsty and in many cases lonely. But you do it for a higher purpose. You do it because at the end of the age, Jesus will look at you and say, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison, and you visited me. I was lonely, and you stood beside me. The motivation of your mission is not just to do good, although that's important. The motivation of your mission is because you are doing something that is not in vain, but that will endure the test of time and is embodying now in the present God's future. So living between the already and the not yet is the foundation of our hope. It's the motivation of our mission. And finally, it is the inspiration of our character. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're called even to love our enemies. We're called to be generous and kind and show hospitality. We're called to do a lot of amazing things as followers of Jesus. But we do those because that's what the kingdom of God will look like. That's what it looks like when God is in charge. That's what it looks like when God's vision for the world actually comes to pass. And so how we live, our character, how we treat one another matters. It matters incredibly because, again, it is a foretaste in the present of God's future. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, as we recognize that we are living between two Advents, between the already and the not yet. May this season be a time when you're thinking about hope, when you're thinking about mission, when you're thinking about character. And so I'm not sure if your Christmas tree is up yet. Mine is up. Christmas lights are up. Gift purchasing has started. It's only going to get busier from here. Amen. But in the midst of all of that, don't forget that when we celebrate that baby in a manger, we're also waiting for a king on a throne who will usher in a vision of new creation in which there is no war, no pain, no grief, no sorrow, but the fullness of joy where every wall of division is torn down and we truly are the one body of Christ that God has ordained and created us to be. So God's already done some pretty amazing things. But in the season of Advent, we're reminded that the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. The candidates will now be presented.
I present Tyler Adderley Henry. Please stand.